Well, good afternoon, good morning, good evening. Welcome back to another live event here. This is a more unusual guide or a webinar because we are going to be creating a design slash palette slash user guide for client sites. And there's going to be a reason for this, and it's not going to be a traditional, okay, here's the four colors, here's the fonts we use. It's going to become a more useful page that we're going to not publish. We're going to make sure we don't put any SEO on it. We're not going to link to it, but it will be live so that people can access it at any time. Now, before we even dive into that, let me just ask the question. Does anybody here use or at least played with the WordPress block editor, the 5.0 block editor? If you're just doing very simple post editing, you're probably not going to run into issues. But here's one of the things we're going to talk about. And hopefully I will have given you all a useful tool at the end of this that will make your life easier using this block editor. Okay. So if you haven't really messed around with the block editor yet, bear with me, you're going to actually see where we have a major issue. So, as you're sitting here, we've got just some basic blocks which have some text in there, which is no problem. And our real problem occurs when we decide, you know what, we want to be able to add content to this area. Or we want to be able to work in a more user-friendly area. So when I say a user-friendly, I'm saying I want to be able to see everything without the sidebars. Okay, well, we can do this. We can collapse that side. We can come over here and we can close out this side. And then you notice a major problem. Does anybody see the major problem of us editing our page? We have a tiny column. It's very narrow. Anybody run into this? You're like, man, it's very narrow. So what happens if I say, you know what? I want to add columns. Now I'm going to use the ultimate Gutenberg add-on because the columns that come with Gutenberg or with the block editor are absolutely horrible right now. Because you can't do anything with it. You can at least do something with these advanced columns. So I'm going to click on this. So we are given advanced columns. Now, this is all fine if all we are doing is two columns. But watch what happens when I say, let me show the block settings. I want to do four. Okay, so now we've got four columns. Great. Anybody know how to create just a simple block of HTML? Like, I just simply want a color. For example, we're going to be making a color palette. So how many of you, when you come to this situation, you're going to be like, okay, I just need some HTML. I'll write a div, do a width and a height, and add a background color so that I can have a nice looking colored block. Anybody use that as your default thing? Something that you might fall back on rather than using an image of the color. Well, here's our problem. I am going to come over here and okay, so let's just do a custom HTML. This is where I edit. Anybody feel comfortable writing entire HTML when you only have three characters width, div, style, display block background color? It gets even worse. And then I'm going to do, let's say, width 40%, height 100 pixels, and then close the div. Okay, so I've written my little div here, so let's go ahead and let me update this. And let's go view the page. All right, so we've got something here. Now let's go back here. What if I just want to copy this over to here? Let me actually put these back. So I want to copy or duplicate this because I don't want to have to retype this. All right, so let's just go ahead and let's duplicate. Okay, so now we have two blocks up and down. I want to drag this to this. Let's drag, how do I get this? Okay, so if I just drag it over, I'm hovering over this where this default start. You'll notice how there's a blue line that appears right above there. If I drop it here, oh, it goes up there. No, that's not where I want it. So go ahead and drag and, oh, I can't scroll and drag at the same time. Okay, well, how do I get this block into this area? So you see the frustration, you're like, okay, let me collapse this. Let me get rid of this display. So will that give me enough space to drag this over? I can't get it into this area. So I'd have to retype everything. Wouldn't it be a better solution if I could actually have full width? Well, if you go look up the documentation of the block editor, let me just show this. The block editor, they will say, you know what? Don't worry. We have built a full width editor. It's our distraction-free editor. So all you do is come up here to the top area, to the three bars, short tools. Oh, full screen mode. This is exactly, it'll space out the columns. Everything will be great. I'm now in full, I'm in this full screen mode, but I'm still jammed into this tiny little narrow column. All right. So here's the code that I will share with you in the replay. Basically, this is going to go into a themes functions.php. It is an action that adds basically two lines of CSS that put the WP block in the editor styles wrapper to max width and a width of 100. So when I save this, and it's adding it only to the admin area, now I can come back here and I hit refresh. I now have full width. So I can now work. And so even if I sit there and I use the editor area or I turn off the full screen mode, even when I'm in here, I still have my columns that run as wide as I can go. So that now if I come over here, let me actually get rid of it. Let me go back to this. Let's go here. We're going to duplicate this. So that now I can drag this over. Oops. I can now put them in the blocks. So I just wanted to point out that there are ways around having such a narrow editor area. Because if you're going to work with columns, it's going to be an absolute disaster in the block editor. And so I'm going to pass this code to you guys on the replay page. Anybody who uses this, this will be a lifesaver for you. So sorry about, I felt that was a pretty important, I mean, it's still narrow, but you can get, as long as you, if like you remove everything and you go to the full screen, you can finally get whatever your browser is. It's going to go full width of your browser. Give you the flexibility of designing something at whatever width you need it to be. All right, so let's go back here. Let's go back to the page and begin having our conversation. And we'll deal with this later. We'll get rid of that stuff later. Okay, the design guide concept that we're dealing with. Now, when I was trying to start to design this page for you, I thought, oh, I'll just do it quickly in the block editor. And that's why I ran into that issue and I needed to solve the ability to use full width. And that's why we went on that little tangent. I know anybody who starts testing the block editor are going to run into that. because it's just ridiculous having such a tiny, narrow editing area. All right. So a design guide is not just for you. You, the designer, you, the developer. We're not looking for just a simple place that stores your colors, your color palettes. We're not looking for just a simple little, here's our headers, here's our fonts that we're using. While that stuff is going to be a part of this, these design guides are built to help your clients, your customers, your business partners, their interns, the people who work at the company, stay within their lane so they don't mess something up because they were not there when you launched the site, or they did not work for the company when you handed out the, here's the step-by-step instructions of working with the site. So this is basically a public page that when we go in and edit the page, I don't know if I have, let me leave this full screen mode. Okay, so I don't have an SEO plugin on our test site, but we would make sure that this is a no indexed page. There's a no follow page. It's going to be a public page, but it's not going to show up on our XML sitemaps. So whatever SEO plugin you use, we're going to make sure that this is turned off. It is not included in search results. We are removing this from actual search results. If they have a search bar, we're making sure it's not a queryable page, that we are removing this from lists of pages. So if we're using a query or a loop that is pulling all your pages into a certain area, or it's an archive area, we're removing that from that. We're not going to include whatever this page ID is. But it is going to be accessible to the client so that at any time, they can just visit this page and they will have the information they need. Now, what type of information is going to go in here? I'm going to go all the way to the bottom and we're going to kind of talk about things that would be on this page. As you're going to notice, there is basically the process of posting. I can't tell you, and some of you may be able to tell me that this still occurs. It used to occur back when I was creating sites for clients. I could almost guarantee that if it had been more than 4 weeks that I had talked to a certain client, they would have sent an email asking a question about what did they do everything right? They forgot one of the steps. Even if I had sent them emails, even if there was a document sitting on their desk saying, here's the 3 or 4 things that you must do when you are publishing a post. Or they simply ignored it and then they asked me why. Oh, why does this image look horrible on this blog post page? Because I wrote it in the editor and I just copy and paste it. So having an idea of this is the way we process the post. Now I just used some very simple things. You would probably want to flesh these things out. Like, okay, when you write your content, make sure you make, and we put this, make sure you spell check it. Make sure you run it through a grammar checker. Make sure you read it aloud or something. And then write your title. Make sure the title is less than 30 characters. Count the characters. Include the image. What is the image requirements? Is the permalink set properly? Is it just one long permalink that has a bunch of a, the, of, if, kind of those stop words? Make sure that your process of posting is set so that if it ever needs to change, you can go in and change the process of posting here. It is also a huge help to those clients, especially nonprofits, who will have people coming in, writing content, writing updates, writing information that is going to alert volunteers of an upcoming event. So a process of posting concept is a tool not only that you are able to communicate to your clients, but you are able to turn around and they can turn around and pass it to anybody who might need it in their business to make their life easier. So that's kind of at the very bottom, something that's very similar. The other thing is you need to make sure that you have written down writing style guides. If it's written down, you can call your clients on it, because if they're going to say, well, you never told me to do that. You never told me that when I link to something or when I upload an image, it needs to have an attribute. You never told me not to use first person. Well, I'm the CEO. I want to use third. Well, maybe you use first person in a blog post, but you don't use the first person in other areas. Maybe you do. What is the writing style guide of requirements? This is also helpful when the client goes out and hires, or you hire someone to write 5 or 6 blog posts for the client, or you want to fill out a silo of information for SEO purposes. You can simply send them a link to the design guide page, which has the writing style guides, things that are needed. Headline post title requirements. Maybe you want to always use a certain word or a phrase in a post title. Maybe there's you have a just a simple thing that says no passive verbs allowed in a post title, something like that. Featured image requirements. No image can be uploaded that is less than 200 pixels. Maybe you have a minimum length for what it must be written on. It must have more than 400 words. Linking requirements. There must be 2 links that go to somewhere else on the website for every single post. So there's all sorts of things that we need to be able to put down information. Does that all make sense? I mean, this is not really design stuff, but it's going to make your life easier. And for the most part, it's probably going to be very similar on every single client site. So here we come to the next item, contact information. How many of you have ever gotten a support request that goes something like this? Billy told Mary that there was an issue with when Bob updated an image that Larry took. And now I need to know what to tell them that they need to do. Or why isn't this image showing up? So it's those, I would actually put a contact form or some type of help request that is directly from the person who's looking at this page and they have a question about the website. It's going to go directly to you from the person who has the question, not, all right, it's going to go to Mary over here. It's going to do this. We want to get it the direct request from the person who needs the help. Now, if your client is not paying you for ongoing support, do not put this in there. But if they are paying you for ongoing support, this is a way that, especially for nonprofits, if you have a volunteer coming in for the weekend to prepare for an upcoming motorcycle ride, and it's going to be much faster and much clearer if you get the question directly from the person who is updating something. You know, the only reason they're there on the design guide is so that they can get the proper method of updating things. So this is something to seriously consider depending on your client. It will avoid the delay in a question, because it's going to go from one person in the company to the next until it finally shows up to you. And then it's like playing telephone tag, where it may not be the actual question the original person wanted to know. All right. I put this thing called social network links. This is basically any important link or information that is integrating with the website. I can't tell you, because I used to do a lot of the nonprofit work, how many executives I would constantly get emails. Hey, what's the name of our Twitter account? Or where should I send somebody if they want to look us up on Facebook? Even though they could go to their website and there might be like these icons in the top menu bar that have all, put them here. Even if somebody who's not a part of the company stumbles upon your design guide, sure, it's going to be linking off to all your social networks, which is a great thing to do. But it also is something that you can basically tell all the executives, or they can tell everybody in the company, hey, if you need information, you have to pass something on. This is the official location to get stuff. So this would be the links of all of the social network accounts. This is not the place that you log into. So this is simply just the link to the social network, the link to whatever. Again, I put contact information here as a way to get help directly to you, the developer, if somebody has that question. Well, oh, I need to upload this image, but it's not uploading correctly. Can I get some help? Boom. In the social network links, yes, it's all about social networks, but you're going to have some companies who have 4 or 5 phone numbers. What is the official phone number that we need to give out? What is the official email address that we need to give out? What I'll be doing is at the end, Jesse, I'll be giving you an export of this page once we build a few other things so that you will have this. So you basically could import this page into whatever WordPress site you want. So this is a simple thing. And when we talk about this, I didn't want to do customize. Hold on. Let's go back. Oh, I could just do this. Since we're on this editing page, you could come down here. Let me get rid of this because we're going to do something else with this later. Okay, so let me come back over here. Like your social network links are going to basically be this. Twitter. And then just put the link. And keep writing them, and maybe you want to actually hyperlink it so that it actually works. And you just start listing off all the items. Office phone. What is it that people need to pass on if somebody asks, or maybe they're at a conference and they need to. You could even have things like official hashtag. So no matter what they're doing, maybe you want to have people to track a hashtag. So we put all sorts of things here that is a quick lookup that can be a reminder to anybody who wants to pass this on. And again, I say this as executives of companies, of nonprofits, of churches, it's going to help them out because a lot of times we are not working with the executive for the designing the website. We're working with the marketing team, or we're working with a vice president, or we're working with the secretary at the office to get the website done. While they may know it and we may know it, there's going to be other people in the company that don't know all these things off the top of their head because maybe they have their own Twitter account. Maybe they have their own cell phone that they pass out. And yes, there can be official contact things, but maybe we don't have a contact number on the actual website and the office phone is more just for passing out information or somebody finds it. In the same manner, logos. So this logo area is going to be very important that when we begin to create our logo area, you put the official logo that needs to go. So that when the official logo shows up, it's here. And there's something a little bit different that I want to encourage you to think about. you may not want to put the logos here that are in the media library of WordPress. Because if we actually, you know, copy this image and take a look at the URL, notice how it's WP content uploads, blah, blah, blah. We have this huge URL for the site, for the image. I would put in the logo section FTP, the logos that you want to share. Your black and white, your color, different sizes, your transparent version, your non-transparent version. You put them all here. They're all in there, maybe their own little logo folder, vocetheme.com/logo. You FTP those in, then you link them here on your site so that anybody who wants those logos, you are perfectly fine with people hot linking to them. So you've got a press packet that goes out. Okay, now anybody can come here, grab the image here. You could even have a link to download, but you're downloading it from a folder on your server or a Dropbox folder or some type of a location that is not in the WP content uploads folder. Does that make sense? And by doing this and putting out all our stuff, it's going to save you time because there's always going to be those moments that a client is going to say, hey, we've got somebody working on a flyer, or we got somebody working on a pamphlet, or we need our logo for our upcoming business card. You just send them, make sure that they know, hey, we can always grab everything from your design guide. It's there. Go ahead and download the image. It will be there at that location. If you need a different size, you can let me know. But you create all the logos that they need. You already have them. This also makes it super simple that, let's say somebody is, a new social network is coming, or they're creating one of their interns is creating an account on another web page. There's an upload your account logo. Boom, you've already given them, where do I get that from? And you've given them the proper logos to grab them. This also gives anybody who knows where this is, and you can link to, you know, press passes and other media guides, here's our official logos that you can link to. The other thing, especially if you are doing corporate work where your CEO, the CEO of that company or the president of the company speaks at events, I would put their speaker profile photo here. So you can put logos and images, the logos of the company, the speaker profile, so that when, hey, we need to be able to write the bio of this person, or we need to include the bio, don't waste your time. It's already done. They can just simply send that company or that conference to the design guide, and they can pull that logo. They can pull that information out. In fact, this is where you put custom blocks. These are your boilerplates. Perfect place to have them all in one location. Here's our boilerplate, and you put them in little blocks. This is for signing up for a newsletter. This is what it will say in every single location. Here is our bio of our company, or of our president. So it's the one paragraph block. So now if that president is going to speak at a conference, they are simply going to be able to send the conference this page where they can grab the logo, they can grab the boilerplate information about the president, and boom, it's done. Anybody who wants to write about the company, anybody who wants to research the company, you've given them the text and information. You're going to be using all that stuff throughout the own website. So why not just compile it into one location? And this enables that intern who's coming in to write stuff, maybe somebody who's hired at a later date and they need to quick grab information about the president, or they need to grab what's our legal information for sign up sheets, or you know, what is the about the company, you know, what is their vision statement? Your custom blocks show up here. This also gives the executives or the marketing manager or whoever's going to do it a place where they can go quick once a year, once every 6 months, glance over what is it that our boilerplates are saying. They can see them all in one location, and they can say, hey, can you update that to say this? Boom, you know exactly where it is, and you take care of it, and that custom block is now updated everywhere. All right, the next few items are more of the traditional design guides. These are where you list off your borders and your separators, when you would use them. These are things like, you have a designed horizontal line, but maybe you have two different types of designs. One of the design is that they're always going to be at the footer of a page, never to be used to separate inside content. Maybe you have another border that is for the inside of content and never to be used outside of a content block. So you say that. This is content block only. Boom. This is what it does. It's got these arrows on the side. You can copy, paste, and insert it into any content. Image styles. How does the feature image appear? What are your requirements of the featured image? Does it have to be 1,000 pixels wide? When they upload an image to an actual blog post, if they are writing that, or a page, or anything like this, what are your requirements of the alt tag, the title tag, attributes? Which things do they need to do? This whole area, you may actually want to list off every image. You must have this, this, and this. And maybe you even put a screenshot of, okay, we're over here, and we're going to use a screenshot. And again, it depends on which editor you or your clients are going to use. But if you've got this image here, maybe you have a screenshot here saying alt text required. And then maybe you come down here and, interesting, they don't actually have title tags on this. So if you were using, or here's a caption, maybe do you have captions, or do you require captions? So your image styles are going to be important, because once it's written and it becomes the requirement for anybody using that, even if you have to hire out a subcontractor to write contract or anybody else coming behind you and who's going to take over for the website, it maintains the continuity if there's instructions. So listing of headers. This is an area, like the listing of the headers is going to be fairly simple for you to do. You simply create a header one. So I'm going to put a header, and let's just do, this is a header one. And we go through, and again, looks like we'd have to do our own CSS, because isn't that weird that you cannot even adjust the font size, sorry, the font in Gutenberg. So we would do, this is header one, and then I would add something right after that. Header one is only to be used in X situation. And then we go through and say, you know, this is header two. And again, you may actually, because of the way Gutenberg works, and maybe if you're not using Gutenberg, you're fine, you may have to go in and make a class that says header two in your CSS so that your header two can declare a different font if you are using different fonts for different headers. And you go through and you list each one of those things, what it's there for, what the sizing should be. And again, I would actually go through X situation. The font size is, whether you say it's 36 pixels or 2.5 EM, whatever pixel font size information you're using, give that information. The color is whatever is a gray. This is a CCCC gray. You want to be able to give enough information about why a certain taxonomy choice is being used, when it's to be used, and it's these are guidelines. So that anybody coming after, or if you need to correct a client saying, you know what, we have to redo this page and here's why, if you have something to point to and say, listen, we can't use a header one here, we have to use a header two in this location, and this is the reason why. They're not going to fight, well, they may. Most of them are not going to fight you if you have, quote, a background page that is your reference guide that they can refer to. The same is true for fonts. In this one, you are going to list off the fonts that are used on the site. Maybe you're linking off to the actual Google font URL or the font URL that they can go grab a copy of that font. It would be helpful to include a text block, basically a lorem ipsum of the block. And again, if you're using the Guten or the block editor, you must use CSS classes so that you can change the font, because you can't change fonts in the Gutenberg editor. Just one of the many things that has issues. See, zero way of changing fonts. Now, this is where we have our color palette. And this is what started the whole thing. Our color blocks need to be using, basically, we're going to create our design palette. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to reproduce one of these in a, I don't know, let's choose something that's a little more, here, this is kind of area. So I'm going to reproduce this as a color palette. And then I'm going to show you two or three other things that will help with this. So I'm going to go ahead and we're going to use the advanced columns, and we're going to make sure that this block has, I think, well, let's just grab four of them. Now I'm going to make this a little bit easier. I'm using this is a free add-on, Ultimate Gutenberg. It's the same team that makes the Ultimate add-ons for Elementor and the Ultimate add-ons for Beaver Builder. So they have given a free Ultimate add-ons for Gutenberg. So when I click over here, notice how each of my columns now actually has a ability to do spacing, backgrounds, borders. Perfect. So now I have a background where I can choose a color, a custom color. Well, which custom color are we going to use? Let me go back over here, and we're going to use this. So I paste this in, and now I've got this color. We're going to come over here, change this, background color. Let's go grab that color. Color, custom color. And again, you can make these however you want. Basically, I'm just trying to put this together really quickly here. Oops. And then the final one, background. Oh, let's grab that. Okay, so if we were to update this and go look at our design guide page, sure, we now have an area here. But we need to add two or three additional items. So again, I'm going to make sure I copied this one. So here, we want to be able to, we can make a header, I think. Let's just use a header, heading. There's that one. Let's grab this one. grab this one. Now, I'm not going to do everything on this. But I would also go through and add the RGB, the RGBA if you need it. So that now we start to have, again, we may need additional spacing for this. So we may actually need to come over here. See if that extends that just slightly. There we go. So now we have items. You can have your blocks. You can have the RGBA. You give people the ability to just, you know, copy out the exact number. They know what it's there for. They have their color blocks. They can quick see what it's for. Then I would also make sure in your color blocks area, you have the instructions for, again, you can also connect it to here. Header one should only ever have this color on your site. Image, let's say image borders, should only ever have this color going around it. Whatever we're doing on the site, we put into this little element area. So that once it's done, anybody who can wants to work on the site needs to know this. So this gives your executive team of whatever company or nonprofit you are building the site for now a tool that says anybody who wants to work on the site or help us with the site or write content from the site, first, you must have visited the design guide and that you agree that you understand what you're doing. So these are all things that can make your life much easier because you have created, you know, it's kind of like when you go to a bowling alley and a little kid is going to start bowling, they put those little bumpers. Yes, it's still possible for the little kid to turn around and throw the bowling ball the opposite direction. You're always going to have clients who do that. But at least if we give them, here's the instructions in a clearly written document that covers everything from colors, fonts, headers, borders, any of the custom blocks that might need to be, you know, boilerplated, the logos that we use, the social links that must be going, how to write, the process of posting, all of these things create the bumpers in the bowling alley to prevent somebody from doing something that just doesn't fit the mold or the design that you have created or that you are trying to create, the brand that you are trying to create for your client. You may also find you want to reorganize this slightly so that basically your colors and your logos are at the top because that's what a lot of people need when they need the press packets of information, put it right at the top. But this becomes a tool. And you, since you're already building this basically in your head or in your own design documents for the clients, why not put it into an actual page that if the client says, hey, can you send me an image? You just send them their design guide page. Say, all images are there. If we need new images, please let me know and we can write up a new contract for designing new logos. So I would encourage this design guide to be a public page, just not indexed for SEO. That's not what it's there for. It is anybody who, you know, there's a newspaper reporter who's asking questions about the the company. Well, the secretary can just send them the design guide. Here's information. I don't know if you've ever researched or ever written a report, or that you have requested a interview question from Bill Gates or whatever. Back when we were creating games at my prior game company, and we did a lot of work with Xbox and Microsoft and everything, and so we needed to put out some press stuff. And so I would, as the PR guy, I would send requests for quotes from somebody, and they would quote, send me the quote, but they say, and everything else you can find over here. And there's a media guide, media press pass. And basically it's telling me, here's the colors you use, that when you say the word Microsoft, it has to be in this font. It has to have this trademark thing after it. When you mention Bill Gates, he prefers that his name is in a font that is X size. And I mean, there's all sorts of things that are saying, this is how we are protecting the brand of this. By you building a design guide for your clients, you're helping them protect their brand. And this is also a way that you can possibly have an add-on for your ongoing maintenance, your ongoing relationship with the client. Because something like this can get you into the idea of being a brand protection. So it's where you would then monitoring social media, you're monitoring these type of things, you're monitoring things that are going on. And you've already built your landing page for all that type of stuff for when you need to correct information about the company, the brand, whatever. So I hope this has been a good discussion and maybe even started you thinking on things that you could add for your clients. This is also a brilliant way to reintroduce yourself to old clients. How many of you have clients who you built websites for a long time ago and you don't have any business relationship with now? Basically, you could pre-build the entire brand design guide, brand protection guide, for past clients. And then say, this is a new service that we are offering. And if you're interested, we can put this together for you and launch your brand protection guide. So sometimes we just have to think outside the box for, we've already created content. Now, how do we repurpose it? So what I'm going to do is, this page will be available in the replay, as well as the code that I showed you to modify the block editor. And then we'll get this replay uploaded, and hopefully it is a help for all of you. So I hope you have a great rest of your Wednesday, and I will see you on Slack.